Well, let's stay in Proverbs chapter number 15 tonight, Proverbs 15. We dealt with a large portion of the first part of this chapter, the end of 14 and the first part of chapter number 15 last Wednesday night. We're going to pick it up in verse number 8 and look at two verses, and I want to just hopefully be a help to you tonight and remind you of a truth that I believe everybody in this auditorium knows, but that sometimes we just need to be reminded of. I will say that last week I felt the same way as I do this week, and I thought, you know, I really believe the principle that I have is simple, so maybe 20, 25 minutes we could be done, and then last week it just kind of went on and on and on, and so I feel the same way this week. We'll see what happens. I know somebody's got their watch already set, and I'm already on the timer because they've been coming up to me every service and saying 41 minutes and 36 seconds, and I've concluded that somewhere right around 40 minutes is what you're going to get most times, but maybe not tonight. We'll see what the Lord does. Verse 8 and verse 9 of Proverbs 15. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. God, be with our time tonight. Help us, Lord, to grab a hold of this truth that is here in this proverb. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to give you some words, and I want you to consider what comes to your mind when you think about these words. And not just the words in themselves, but when you think about people that would be actively involved, or even yourself, as you're actively involved in these words, what comes to your mind? Don't say it out loud, but just consider what comes to your mind. Prayer. Person of prayer. Tither. Faithful. Giver. Faithful tither. Somebody who fasts. Don't do much of that anymore, do we? It's biblical. Somebody who's faithful in their Bible reading. Somebody who's faithful to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, special meetings. Everything we do, you can count on them. They are there. They're faithful to church. Somebody who is a witness, consistently trying to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not going to find them without a track in their pocket. You're not going to find them when we have visitation. You're not going to find a Saturday. They're not here going out on the bus and handing out flyers and inviting people to church. Church worker. Church doesn't function without workers. So think of a faithful nursery worker, a faithful Sunday school teacher, a faithful trustee, somebody faithful to play the instruments that we have, a faithful choir member, a faithful song leader, a faithful preacher. When you think of those words, and somebody that those words are a part of their life, you cannot separate your name or their name from being a person of prayer or being a person who gives or being a person who's faithful to church. Somebody who's always in their place, singing in the choir, a faithful nursery worker. You think of them and you think of these terms about them. Now I want you to consider this word. Abomination. Doesn't really go hand in hand, does it? Doesn't seem like it should be on the same list. Now, before I go any farther, I want to be very clear tonight. God doesn't only want, He desires, He demands, if we could put it that way. He demands that we put our faith into action. In other words, God's desire for your life and my life, through His Word, He commands us that our walk with God is more than just something that's an inward decision, but something that is actively played out in our day-to-day lives. It's seen in the things that we do. James said it this way. He says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And James said, I will show thee my faith by my works. And there's nobody here tonight that's going to discredit, that's going to say anything that would say, no, this isn't important. It's certainly important that we be workers. It certainly is important that we be people of prayer and tithers and Bible readers and faithful to church and faithful to work. All of those things are important. It said of in the book of Romans, we learned this as we went through there. It said of Abraham, he was a worker, that he worked. He worked not to obtain grace, but he was a worker. He was a follower of Christ. He did what he did because he understood what Christ had done for him. And so out of debt, he worked and served Christ. In other words, every believer should be a worker. Every worker should be a prayer warrior, faithful in their Bible reading, faithful in their tithing, faithful to church, faithful to serve. Everyone should be that. But with that said, there's the possibility that you could be all of those things and not pleasing to the Lord at all. That you could be a prayer warrior, faithful church member, Bible reader, choir member, server in the church. You're working in all sorts of different places. It could be that you're a song leader. It could even be that you're a preacher standing behind the pulpit, a pastor, a pastoral staff member. You could be any of these things and doing all of these things outwardly and not pleasing to the Lord at all. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah with me. We're going to look at several scriptures here tonight, but I want you to look with me in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. We find a time in the history of the nation of Israel where they were busy doing, busy working, busy fulfilling the things that were commanded of them. But God wasn't pleased with it at all. Look at verse 11. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 1, verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Okay, you can go back. The Bible says in Proverbs 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. We're talking about the very same thing. Somebody who is in the Old Testament times was actively bringing their sacrifices before the Lord. To what purpose, God says, is this multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of ram, of fat of fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. He said, I have plenty of people bringing me sacrifices. I am full of it. I've had plenty of it. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Here's what God said about these people actively serving in the tabernacle there. He said, bring no more vain oblations. Offering up of incense. Incense is a, watch this word, abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbath, these feasts that they would keep, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is, do you see this word? Iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, the most solemn of things that you do, God said, when I look at it, I'm not pleased with it. In fact, I look at it, it's an abomination, it's an iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil from your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here's what God's saying, and he's pointing out. Here's a group of people, and they are busy doing. But when God looked beyond and past all that they were doing, he saw wicked hearts and wicked motives. Why would people do this? The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. Why would it be that people would do these things and be faithful and consistent in these outward duties, if you would, while inwardly wrong? I think that one of the reasons is people are attempting to buy his favor. They feel like if I'll do these things that I can buy his favor and I need his blessings, and so I really don't care about him and a relationship with him, and I don't care and have a heart for him, but I do desire his favor and his blessings. And so if I keep doing these, it'll lock God into having to bless me. And God said, no, that's not the way it works. When your heart's not right and you're not doing things out of a right relationship with me, he said, it's an abomination. See, there are people that are not fully interested, maybe not interested at all, not truly interested would be a good, better way to say it, not truly interested in a relationship with God. They're just interested in the way they appear, the way other people perceive them. They're just interested in what God has to offer them. And again, God says this is an abomination. Go to the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter number 23 with me. Matthew chapter number 23. Bible's full of illustrations about this. Proverbs in chapter number 23, or Matthew in chapter number 23. Look at verse number 14. This whole chapter, starting really in verse number 5, Christ is denouncing the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of the day. But I want you to notice this in Matthew 23, 14. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye will compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you will make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, or whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, by whosoever sweareth by the gift that is appointed, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And whoso shall swear by heaven sweareth upon the throne of God and by him that setteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrite. Watch this, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye not to have done, not to leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, strain at a gnat, swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Here's this group of people. According to verse number 14 we read, they were known for their praying. Verse 15, they were known for their outreach. Verses 16 through 20, they were known for their spiritual commitments. Verse 23, they were known for their giving. It's beginning to sound a lot like the list I started the sermon with of all the things that people can do. But here's the problem that Christ points out. He goes right to the heart of the matter and he says, "You are not what you appear on the outside. And what you appear to, rather I'd say it this way, the way that you appear on the outside does not match what you truly are on the inside. On the outside, people look at you and they see all of these wonderful things that you do. And you appear to be a super spiritual person. And nobody's going to look at you and say, you shouldn't be praying, you shouldn't be tithing, you shouldn't be committed to God, you shouldn't be doing all these things in outreach. Nobody's going to say that. But God has the ability to look in and say, if you're going to do these things, you need to do them with the right heart. See, I fear many Christians view their service to God as a scale. As long as the good outweighs the bad, then it's okay. As long as I do all of these things over here and I tithe and I give and I'm faithful to church, it really, all the other stuff, it just kind of goes away and God doesn't pay attention to all the other things that are going on in my heart. It all outweighs the bad, or the good outweighs the bad. But this scripture tells us that if we have any wickedness on our scale, it always outweighs all the good, no matter how much it is. See, it's time God's people wake up and realize that we are wicked people. Our hearts are desperately wicked. And there's no amount of good that we can do that can outdo our wickedness, that we have to be right on the inside. Someone says, well, how in the world can somebody be right on the inside? If I'm not right on the inside, the things I'm doing become an abomination to the Lord. If the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, how in the world can I be right with Him? Well, the Bible says at the end of verse 8 of Proverbs 15, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. The sacrifices of the wicked is an abomination, but the prayer of the, and I have underlined in my Bible, upright is His delight. See, it may not be the best prayer. It might not be the most eloquent of prayer. It may not be the greatest theologian speaking that prayer, the person with the greatest Bible knowledge that speaks that prayer, but if they have uprightness of heart, if they're right within, then the prayer that they utter up to God is a delight. On the flip side, you may have the most, what appears to be the most knowledgeable, spiritual person in the whole world. And if their hearts are not right, no matter what they do, it's an abomination. Look at the end of verse 9. But He loveth him that followeth after righteousness. The way of the wicked, no matter what they do, if our hearts aren't right, it's an abomination to God. But if we are upright, and if we spend our lives following after righteousness, trying to be and do right from the heart, God says, that I love. I love this story, and I'm gonna close with this story. Go over here to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. See, we are moving right along. Luke chapter number 18, and I want you to look at verse number 10. We'll start in verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. Have you turned to all these scriptures on a night like tonight? Because it helps keep you awake. It's been a long day. I don't know about the rest of you. It feels warm in here to me. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. You see a problem already? This first person, they trusted in themselves. They weren't looking to God for their righteousness and not trusting in God for them to be righteous. No, they trusted in themselves. They were looking at all the things I do. I pray, I fast, I give, I do all of these things, and therefore I am righteous. And look down at everybody that didn't live up to what their opinion of righteousness was. Tells me something was wrong in their heart right off the bat, doesn't it? Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican, a simple man. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee. I'm not as other men are. God, You know, they're extortioners, they're unjust, they're adulterers, even as this publican over here. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Do you see what's going on here? Out of a wicked heart, he's looking down at other people and saying, look at what I do. I do more than you. I give more than you. I fast more than you. I'm more spiritual than you. And he wants everybody to see him standing in the chiefest of place and praying. How do you think God feels about that? Well, I can tell you, according to the book of Proverbs, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. God's not pleased with it at all. But in verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast, saying, hey, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's just honest. He didn't care what anybody said. He didn't care what anybody thought. He was just real before God and said, God, here's who I am. I am a sinner. I am a nobody. I am a nothing. And God, without you, I can't be anything. And God, I'm begging of you, just be merciful to me because I want a relationship with you. I want to be righteous before you. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I only care about what you think. And God, you have the ability to look past the facade. You have the ability to look past all the things that people do. And you have the ability to look right into my heart. And God, you know when you look into my heart that I am prone to sin. And I am begging you, God, be merciful to me because I want to be right before you. The Bible says, I tell you, this man went down into his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Charles Bridges, some of the things he says in his commentary in the book of Proverbs are just incredible. He concluded his words on this portion of Proverbs by saying to us, he said, let the reader ponder this solemn question. Let the reader ponder this solemn question. So I'd say it to you this way. Let the hearer ponder this solemn question. Ponder this tonight. He said, what am I? What is my service when I am working for him? Am I an abomination or a delight? Man judges by deeds, but God judges by principles. Man declares their righteousness because of all that they do and all the deeds that they accomplish. But God looks and says, there's a principle of a right heart, and that's where I begin my judgment. Is prayer wrong? No. Is giving wrong? Absolutely not. Is church faithfulness wrong? Well, of course not. Being a witness, is it wrong? Well, no. We're commanded to do that. But you can be involved in all those things, and if your heart's not right before God, then those things are not a delight to him at all. Could it be even here on a Wednesday night? No, I know who I'm preaching to. And I know who's preaching to you. Could it just be that we get so busy doing that we forget about the being? We get so busy running from here and here, and this is the working part of the church, and preparing for programs and preparing for this, and we're working all over, and God has to be pleased because look how busy I am for him. God doesn't have to be pleased with anything, but he will be pleased with a right heart. And no amount of activity, no amount of good work can outweigh a wicked heart, and doing things out of the right heart. So I ask you tonight, why do you do the things you do? I hope it's not in an attempt to buy his favor. I hope it's not because you're not truly interested in a true relationship with him, but you just hope to be on his good side. I hope that the reason you do the things you do, I hope when you go back and evaluate all of your service to God, I hope when you go back and evaluate it, you say that the real reason I do these things is because I want the greatest and best relationship I can have with my Savior. And I just want to please him and serve him. And I don't care if anybody sees. Listen to me, this will help us tonight. A lot of churches have a lot of problems because people are more interested in what everybody else thinks and their status in the church and whether or not somebody applauds and commends them for the things they do. There's no place for that. When we're only interested in pleasing one, and we're only interested in being right with one, we won't care about anything else. We won't care about who gets the credit because we only want one to get the credit. We won't care about the spotlight. You've seen it in churches. We've had people since I've been here that have left this church because, well, they didn't let me sing as much as they let that other person sing. Well, maybe a bad spirit's the reason you didn't get to sing as much as the other person. Or it could just be the other person's more talented. But regardless, who cares? As long as God's name is lifted on high and he's pleased and his name is magnified. See, when it becomes all about me, we become these publicans and Pharisees. When it comes about me and just activity and doing and being seen, we're like those in the days of Isaiah, to which he said, hey, your sins, they're like scarlet. You need to come get right with me. Let your sins be as white as wool. And I say to you tonight, only you know your heart. Only you know why you're doing the things that you do. But if you're doing them out of the wrong heart and a wicked heart and the wrong motives, I want to encourage you just to clear off a space tonight and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm doing a lot of things, but I'm not right in here. So God, I want to get right in here and do things for your honor and your glory. Every head bowed, every eye closed.